Thank you, Michael, for leading us in prayer. Appreciate that. Very good prayer, brother. Thank you, Max, for leading us in song. And thank you, Steve, for a very good job of reading the scripture there from Hebrews chapter 12. And I'd like to encourage everybody to keep your Bibles opened up there to Hebrews 12. We're going to begin there in just a moment. As many of you are already aware of, the 107th running of the Indianapolis 500, which is often referred to as the greatest spectacle in racing, is scheduled to take place today at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Now, while there are many today who are very informed about the greatest spectacle in racing, there are not so many today who are as informed about the greatest race of all. That great race being the race that is set before us for a crown of eternal life. So with that thought in mind, let's take some time this morning to notice what the Bible has to say about the race that is set before us. Beginning with, the Bible says that the race that is set before us must be ran with endurance. Going back to the reading there in Hebrews chapter 12, as the Hebrews writer concludes about many who overcame by faith, after he talks about the faith of many, and many who overcame by their faith, he talks about, as he makes his appeal to the Christians in the first century, his appeal for them to not to lose the faith, but to keep on keeping on. He says, beginning in verse 1 of Hebrews 12, therefore we also, just as those that he just mentioned, who had this great faith, he said, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness. Now watch it. He says, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with the endurance the race that is set before us. Did you catch that? Notice as the Hebrews writer makes his appeal to these Christians who had already entered the race. He, as he appeals to them not to lose faith, but rather to keep on keeping on, he tells them to do what? He tells them to run that race that is set before them. That race for that crown of life with endurance. That word endurance there can also be translated patience or perseverance. And what the Hebrews writer is telling these Christians is he was telling them that it's not good enough just to enter the race. But rather, once you enter the race, you must do something. And what is that he says that you must do? He says, run. You must run. And it's mindful that we recognize as we enter this race that is set before us, that the race that is set before us for that crown of eternal life, it's not a sprint, but rather it's a marathon. You see, there are some who enter the race and once they obey the gospel, they're on fire for the Lord. They hit the ground running, so to speak, and they're on fire for the Lord. They take off in a sprint. But sadly, as time goes on, what happens? They get tired. They get out of breath. They get exhausted. And they bail out. You see, we must be mindful this race that is set before us. It's a marathon. And we got to run this race as a marathon. We got to run it steadfastly. And we got to be mindful that, again, once we enter this race, we can't just sit down on the track. But rather, we got to run. We got to run. There are too many also today who enter the race, and once they enter the race, they just want to sit down on the track, so to speak. They don't want to do anything else. They think, oh, I obey the gospel, that's all I need to do, I'm good. But again, I want to emphasize what the Hebrews writer instructs here in regard to this race which is set before us. What's he say? He said, let us run. That means it's going to involve something on the part of each and every one of us that's in this race. We're going to have to run it. And we're going to have to run it with endurance. When I think about how we can effectively run this race that is set before us with endurance, I think about how great long distance runners have the ability to concentrate on the prize that is set before them. I don't know if you've ever watched any television shows that are interviewing long distance runners. But if you like watching sports activities and watching like the Olympics and things like that, and you see when a long distance runner is being interviewed, they'll often ask them, well, how do you keep your focus? And you know what their answer is? I'm focused upon the prize. I concentrate upon being on the podium and receiving the prize. They pictured themselves on the winner's stand. That's how they concentrate and focus and endure the race. They're focused on the prize. And when I think about that, we too must run the race that is set before us by keeping our sights on the prize. You see, we all recognize that this race that is set before us, it's not always going to be an easy race to run. There's going to be some obstacles that's going to come along our way, along the way. And we need to be mindful that when those obstacles come, we need to be mindful to stay focused on the prize. We need to be mindful to stop and consider ourselves on the winner's stand, receiving the prize, to help us endure and to keep on, keeping on as we run this race that is set before us. But the Hebrews writer also tells us, dropping down there to verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 12, that this race that is set before us, it must be ran by looking unto Jesus. He goes on to say there, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Notice, the Hebrews writer gave the instruction to run the race with endurance. And now he's telling us to run that race not only with endurance, but by looking unto Jesus. By setting our sights upon Jesus, whom he describes here as the author and finisher of our faith. Whom he also tells us who endured the cross, despising the shame. You see, that's exactly why we need to look unto Jesus as we run the race that is set before us. Because Jesus has left us a perfect example to follow. Think about what Jesus did. Remember the example that he has set before us and think about what he did and was able to do. He endured the cross, despising the shame. Think about that. You see, Jesus, he gives us that perfect example to follow in regard to how to run this race and to do it with endurance. Because it says that he endured the cross despising the shame. But how did he do it? Notice, who for the joy that was set before him. Think about that. You see, Jesus already recognized he was the victor. He was the victor. But what was the joy that was set before Jesus? That joy of the many that would be saved and have salvation through him making that ultimate sacrifice on the cross. That was the joy that was set before him. And it was that allowed him to endure the cross, despising the shame. Again, what Jesus did was no easy task. It was no easy task. There's not a one of us here this day who will ever go through what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ went through when he went to the cross and he endured the cross. Not a one of us will ever experience anything like he did. That task that he did, it wasn't easy. But again, his eyes were fixed on what was ahead. His eyes were fixed upon the joy that was set before him. And when we keep our focus upon Jesus, knowing that the victory is in Jesus, we sometimes sing that beautiful hymn, don't we? Victory in Jesus. And when we keep our eyes focused upon Jesus, we keep our sights focused upon him, realizing that the victory lies within him. In him, we too will be better equipped to finish the race and to receive the prize. But here's another thing that the Bible teaches us in regard to running the race that is set before us. You see, this race that is set before us, it must be ran according to the rules. When I think about that, I'm mindful of Paul's analogy found there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5. And there Paul penned, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless what, Paul? Unless he competes according to the rules. Think about that. You see, as those who run in any race must abide by the rules, so must we. We too must abide by the rules as we run the race that is set before us. And those rules that we must abide by have been laid down for us in God's all-inspired Word. Remember what Jesus said? Remember what Jesus said there in John chapter 14, verse 15? If you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. Again, Jesus is the captain of our salvation. He is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. And if we are going to receive that prize, we've got to do all that he has commanded us. We have to run the race that has been laid down for us in God's all-inspired Word. And we all recognize that no athlete can receive any prize unless he follows the rules. We realize that, don't we? What happens if an athlete who competes in athletics, if he fails to abide by the rules, what's going to happen? He's going to become disqualified, isn't he? He's not going to receive the prize. He's not going to win the prize. And the same is for you and I, brethren. For you and I who have entered this great race for eternal life, we too must abide by the rules as we run this race that is set before us, or we will not receive the prize. But here's another thing that the Bible tells us about the race that is set before us. And that is, this race that is set before us, it must be ran with self-control. Go with me, if you will, in your Bibles there to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I want you to notice that as Paul writes to the Corinthians here, these words of the inspired apostle beginning in verse number 24. Paul said, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." I want you to notice some things we learn here as Paul made his appeal to the church in Corinth. Notice first of all with me there in verse 25 and verse 27. The fact that we learn here that this race that is set before us, it must be ran with self-control. We learn there in verse number 25, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. That simply means there that they exercise self-control. control. You see, I want you to think about that for a moment. You see, as Paul alludes to here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, just as competing for a perishable crown requires self-control, that is, things such as self-denial of things that may bring pleasure to you. Those athletes who compete for that imperishable crown, they have to be temperate in all things, don't they? They have to exercise self-control. There are some things that they have to resist in order for them to be in shape, in order for them to be able to compete and have a chance to win. And it's the same for you and I, brethren, with this race that is set before us. It's going to require some self-control. There's going to be times when we're going to have to exercise self-denial. There's going to be some times when we're going to have to deny ourselves of some of those things that we may selfishly want, but yet are not pleasing to the Lord. There are going to be some times where we're going to have to make some sacrifices. You see, when you think about the temperance and being temperate in all things, that's all conclusive. That doesn't only include some of the things that we have to do, some of the restraints that we have to be mindful of and bringing our bodies into subjection. But it also includes some sacrifices that we're going to have to make. You see, there's going to be some times when we may want to spend time doing other things. Unfortunately, there's probably some who on this Lord's Day, instead of being at worship and worshiping the Lord, who are probably already sitting in their stands at the track. Unfortunately, that's probably happening as we speak. But you want to know something? If we're going to be one who is going to obtain that imperishable crown, we're going to have to be temperate in all things. We're going to have to exercise self-control. There are some things that we're going to have to resist. And we're going to have to be mindful of the need to always put God and His will before all else. Because what's going to happen? What's going to happen if we fail to bring our selfish ambitions and our body into subjection? What's going to happen? Well, Paul tells us what could happen there in verse 27, doesn't he? He tells us why he disciplines his body and brings it into subjection. He says, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Did you know? Just as we talked about earlier, in regard to those athletes who compete in athletics, how if they don't abide by the rules, they can become disqualified. Paul made it very clear here that failure to be temperate in all things, failure to properly exercise self-control, will lead you to be disqualified. That's serious, isn't it? That's serious. And as Paul is speaking of his efforts to win this race, he says he disciplined himself and brought himself into subjection. You see, there's times too, brethren, when we are going to have to discipline ourselves. There's times we're going to have to bring ourselves into subjection. We're going to have to resist the temptations that are around us. Because failure to do so will lead to spiritual defeat. And thereby will lead to the loss of the right to obtain the crown. But here's another thing Paul tells us here in the text in 1 Corinthians 9. He tells us there in verse number 26, as we see, he says, therefore I run thus not with uncertainty, thus I fight not as one who beats the air. You see, Paul, he didn't run this race that was set before him with uncertainty, but rather he ran it with assurance. That word assurance denotes a confidence in achieving something. And we see here that Paul declared that he ran with absolute confidence of obtaining the prize. Again, brethren, as children of God, as those who have entered this race that is set before us, this race for a crown of eternal life. We need to run this race as the apostle run this race with absolute confidence of obtaining the prize. You see, we don't have to beat the air like a boxer who is swinging wildly and misses his mark, as Paul alludes to in verse 26. We don't beat the air. But rather, we have the assurance of this promise of eternal life, because the crown has been promised to all who obediently run the race that is set before them. What did John tell us? 1 John chapter 5 and in verse number 13. What did he tell them? He said, "These things I write to you, why? That you may know you have eternal life." Brethren, as obedient children of God, we know that we have eternal life. And it's because of that that we should be motivated to put forth a strenuous effort to finish the race that is set before us, knowing that we have the assurance of the victory. Again, victory is in Jesus. And we have the assurance of that victory. Knowing that we must run this race that is set before us in such a way that we may be able to win it. Again, Paul here in verse number 24, as he begins making his appeal to the Corinthians in regard to the need for them to strive for the crown, he alludes to the foot races in which there would only be one winner, in which honor would be bestowed upon. But in contrast to that, he talks about this Christian race, this race that we are running for that imperishable crown. And he talks about how that may be won by all who enter it and finish it. You see, the crown, that imperishable crown that Paul's speaking of here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, it is for all who finish the race. And we need to be mindful of the need to run in such a way that we will not only finish the race, but that we will win the race. That we will receive the prize, that crown. And this can be achieved when one totally commits themselves to running in such a way that they may obtain it. That's why Paul says there in the latter part of verse 24, run in such a way that you may obtain it. You see, it's possible that if you don't stay focused, if you don't do what we talked about earlier, if you don't endure, if you don't look unto Jesus, if you don't run the race with obedience, with self-control, with confidence, it's possible that you may not obtain or lay hold of that prize. But Paul says here, run in such a way that you may obtain it. We need to be mindful of that, brother. Each and every day, as we run that race which is set before us, we need to run it in such a way that we're going to lay hold someday of that prize, that imperishable crown, that crown of life. My beloved brother, in the race that is set before us brings the greatest reward. If we will just be one who runs the race with endurance, looking unto Jesus, according to the rules, with self-control, with the assurance to win it. Therefore, brethren, may we all be one who runs well the race that is set before us. And let's all be one who finishes the race, knowing that by doing so, there is laid up for us the crown of righteousness. When I think about that, I can't help but to think about the words of the Apostle Paul. And I want to leave you with Paul's words this morning there from 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse number 7. He says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now watch verse 8. He says, "Finally there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day." That is that judgment day. "And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Once more, the race that's set before us brings the greatest reward. Therefore, let's run that race, brother, that is set before us in such a way that we may obtain it. But before you can win the race, you must first enter the race. And did you know that this race, all are encouraged to enter? And we all enter it by the same way. You see, this great race that leads to eternal life can be entered by those who have heard the Word of God, by those who believe that Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten Son of the one true living God, by those who make a change in their life, those who repent of their sins, those who confess Jesus, and those who put Christ on through baptism. And you can enter that race, if you have not yet entered that race, this very hour, if you believe with all your heart, as that Ethiopian eunuch did, as we talked about this morning, there from Acts chapter 8 in our Bible study class. If you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, you too, as the eunuch did, you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. And you too, as you're raised up at that watery grave of baptism, can go on your way rejoicing. And may we all always remember that the buck doesn't stop at baptism, but rather we must continue to keep on keeping on. We must remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Maybe there's one here this morning who has already submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will. Maybe you've already entered that race that leads to eternal life, but maybe you've strayed from that straight and narrow path. You're encouraged to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour by repenting of your sins, confessing to God, and asking Him for His forgiveness. And if you'd like to enlist of the prayers of the saints on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this morning, it'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your name may be, won't you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front while we stand and sing the song Max has selected.